Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today, Christians around the world are observing the transfiguration of the Lord, this peculiar event that occurs near the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, in which the disciples catch a glimpse of the glorious revelation of God in Jesus and Christ's appearance as the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. The experience underscores how God's light will shine through and overcome the darkness of despair and death that awaits Jesus in Jerusalem. And for us modern-day believers, transfiguration is also a reminder that change is always present and forever coming into our lives. We as human beings don't care much for change. We're quite resistant to it most of the time, and yet change is wired into the system of life itself and can't be avoided even for a second. Because every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year, change happens. Things don't remain the same, nor do they stay idle. Your body and mind is always changing. Cells constantly grow and die. Every thought and movement affects your brain and body chemistry so that it's never exactly the same as it was. Every choice you make, even the same one, leads to a slightly different outcome than the day before. Every breath and every action causes change constantly. It's unavoidable. A friend of mine, David Lamont, a singer-songwriter and peace activist, is fond of saying this: "You can't be in the world and not change it. Everything you do changes the world, whether you like it or not. And the small changes very often add up to big ones." Numerous changes, small and big, have occurred within this congregation since Transfiguration Sunday on March 3rd, 2019. We've known each other for nearly a year, whereas before, we didn't know each other at all. And I'm preaching my 43rd sermon as opposed to my very first one in this sanctuary. We've gained a new sexton in Tim Reeves, a new seminary intern in Caitlin Jones, and a new music director in Justin Hahn. We've installed a new class of elders. We've mourned members who've died, Ann Hughes, Barbara Vincent, and Joan Little. We've welcomed several new members and regular visitors. We've witnessed the baptism of an infant and watched babies be born and grow within our own families. We've endured health and career challenges. We've gotten new jobs and we've retired. We've downsized our homes and said goodbye to folks who've moved away. We've had car wrecks, flat tires, and slips and falls. We've had colds and the flu and bad days. We've had small encounters with strangers at the grocery store and library and restaurants. We've had new conversations, read new books, listened to new music, seen new movies, and met new people. We've created pieces of art that previously didn't exist. We've finished projects, run marathons, gone on adventures, and achieved a number of successes. We've changed habits and practices. We've focused more on the quality of our relationships. We've changed. And we'll continue to change. That's the deal. That's how it works. And we never quite know what type of change is going to occur or when at any given time. The future isn't certain, and tomorrow is never promised to any of us. So we cherish those fleeting moments when we can, and we try to remain in the present so we don't miss out on what this life and world has to offer us. changes coming all the time, and all we can really do is keep moving right along with the seasons, always asking ourselves, which changes will we make, and how will we go about making them? Much of it is beyond our control, and simultaneously, we have more control than we realize to effectively impact the world around us. In her deeply moving song, Change, singer-songwriter Tracy Chapman says, or sings, "If you knew that you would die today, if you saw the face of God in love, would you change? If you knew that love can break your heart when you're down so low you cannot fall, would you change?" When asked about the meaning of the song on a late-night talk show, Chapman explained, "Well, it's a song that's asking a question, really, about how do we make the best use of the life that we have? And how do we make changes that we often know we need to make, but for some reason can't get around to it? And sometimes I think it's extraordinary circumstances that kind of encourage people to get out of their day-to-day routine and do the thing that they know they need to do." The disciple Peter, bless his heart, sees the face of God in all its glory and splendor, and he doesn't quite know what to do, so he anxiously decides they need to set up camp for several days or possibly construct a shrine to commemorate the transfiguration. As one group of biblical scholars note, it's a bumbling, endearing proposal, if a bit tone-deaf and presumptuous. After all, if these three, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, wanted shelter, they likely would have already made arrangements. Is Peter thinking of the Greek custom of building a shrine at the site of a God's appearance? Is Peter trying to corral the astounding wonder into something more manageable, more domesticated? Or is he simply at a loss, grasping for something to say, something to offer? I've always thought Peter, despite his good intentions, was trying to bottle up lightning. He was attempting to dwell for a long time in that mountaintop experience. And we can empathize with Peter because we've had those mountaintop experiences that we didn't want to end. We know what it's like to be immersed in what our brains tell us is a fleeting moment and that our hearts wish will last forever and ever. But those mountaintop experiences don't last. Transfiguration, divine change, doesn't ever remain in one place. It moves down the mountain and into the valley to meet people and their vulnerability and their pain and their oppression. And as a result, we can never stay on the mountaintop, nor out of sight of this powerful force in our lives. The Reverend Marietta Anschwitz puts it this way. The moment of transfiguration, she says, is that point at which God says to the world and to each of us that there is nothing we can do to prepare for or stand in the way of joy and sorrow. We cannot build God a monument, and we cannot keep God safe. We also cannot escape the light that God will shed on our path. God will find us in our homes and in our workplaces. God will find us when your hearts are broken and when we discover joy. God will find us when we run away from God and when we are sitting in the middle of what seems like hell. So get up and do not be afraid. We can be so afraid and paralyzed by change. We can be so fearful of leaving our comfort zones and taking risk to serve and help others. We can be so fearful of losing experiences that will truly only happen once or a handful of times. We can be so fearful of what might or might not happen to us and others a few hours or a few days from now. Personally, I am fearful of goodbyes. I know I'm going to feel heartache when experiences in ministry come to a close, and I don't like it at all. I've cried at the end of every youth conference and adult mission trip I've ever been on since I was a teenager, because I knew the dynamics of the group would never be the same again. I still miss serving alongside pastors from previous calls because either they or I were called by God to serve somewhere else. My heart always gets heavy thinking about them. And the heart feels a bit bulky this morning, considering it is Heather's last week as the office administrator at Emory Prez after serving faithfully for 12 years. I will miss working with her. Heather's wisdom and guidance, humor, encouragement, affirmation, and support was so vital as I settled into my role here and my first call as a head of staff. I went through a whirlwind of change in those first few months. And the ever-moving busy bee that Heather is kept me going, especially when I wasn't sure which direction I was going toward. And now Heather is being called in a different direction in her life, which she is continuing to discern and listen for God's voice. It's bittersweet, and that's all right, because change happens. People have multiple callings in ministry and life. Adults have circumstances that prompt a change in their schedule and plans. Youth grow up and graduate and move away. No one person can stay in one spot forever. There is the continual motion of birth and life and death and the mystery beyond the pale. And it repeats itself because change happens. But friends, we don't have to be afraid of it, because Jesus, the transfigured, goes ahead of us to illuminate the path and guide us along in all of the journey's ups and downs and twists and turns. This is what the Apostle Peter, who became a prophetic voice for the church, eventually learned from his time with the Savior. In a letter to a community of believers, Peter says they would do well to be as attentive to Jesus' transfiguration as a lamp that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. You see, what the transfiguration reveals, according to one commentary, is that Christ's suffering and death is actually a step toward a dramatic subversive victory, where Jesus will now venture into the shadows of death precisely in order to scatter those shadows once and for all, overcoming them in the end with shimmering light. A new jubilee, a new exodus is dawning, and radiant beauty awaits on the other side of Golgotha. The significance of the transfiguration of the Lord is reflected beautifully in the hymn that we will sing shortly, one of Heather's personal favorites that she chose for today's service, Lift Every Voice and Sing, which is known as the African American National Anthem. It was written by the famed poet James Weldon Johnson and first performed at a segregated school in Florida in 1900 during a celebration of Abraham Lincoln's birthday. An NPR segment from a couple of years ago noted that the hymn was written at a pivotal time when Jim Crow was replacing slavery and African Americans were searching for an identity. And more than 120 years later, the song continues to acknowledge that in the midst of struggle and great changes, we put our hope and trust in the transfigured God whose love, mercy, and justice is going to change all of our lives and world for the better. Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory is won. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who hast brought us thus far on our way, thou who hast by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Amen.